Today on Real Radio.
As a very hurried and rushed people, we so easily and quickly approach this table tonight without even thinking about what it costs God in sacrificing His Son for us. It's such a serious time that tonight Paul warns us in the book of Corinthians. He says, don't anybody joke about tonight, about communion. He said, many of you who are in the church, you've goofed around taking it and you've become even ill, physically sick. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, some in an unworthy manner taking communion have even died. That was in the New Testament church. God takes this very seriously. And you might want to ask why.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We've been exploring the first part of chapter 3, which we'll continue to do so today. The context so far is that the Gentile and the Messianic Jew are now worshiping together because Messiah has come. Now, we're going to do something a bit unusual on today's Real Radio. Pastor Jack will communicate the seriousness of sin in the eyes of the Almighty. How? Quite simply, on God's terms. Our Maker does not wink at sin. It must be covered and then ultimately paid for. As our teacher begins today's presentation on Real Radio, he'll be using a real live lamb on stage to illustrate. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
This is Lambert. He's about 2 months old, and we hope he cooperates with our service tonight. God had said in His Word to the nation of Israel that they were to be a people that were chosen and set apart for Him, and that they would be a people that would be allowed to approach Him. But God laid down the standard in the Old Testament on how that would take place. He made it very, very clear that because there was sin separating the nation, the people that He loved and called by His name, and that gulf called sin interrupted the fellowship between God's people and God Himself. And God made a decree that it was through the shedding of blood that there would be the remission of sins. In fact, the book of Leviticus says that there's no sin forgiven or taken away or covered without the shedding of blood. And when the Lord instituted the Passover, He very first did it there in Egypt while the people, Israel, were in bondage to the things of the world, Egypt being a part of the world. Whenever you read about Egypt in the Bible, it is certainly speaking of it in its historical sense, but there are some passages in Isaiah and Jeremiah where the word speaks about Egypt in a worldly sense, and also in the book of Revelation. But Israel was being held captive by Egypt or the world. And when time had come for God to deliver His people from their bondage and from that captivity, the Lord told them to take a lamb and to sacrifice that lamb and take the blood of that lamb and put it there on the doorpost and the lintel of their house, over the top and on both sides, making, actually, you've heard this before, a shape of a cross. But the Lord commanded there in Exodus, He said that you will take a lamb and it will be of the first year. Now this little guy, as I said, he's about 2 months old, a little over 2 months old from what I've been told. And he's to be without blemish. Now, he has blemishes. There's some brown spots on him. There's a black spot maybe some of you can see right here on his neck on this side. See that black spot? He would be rendered unusable. As cute as he is, he's so docile. We had him in the backyard today, and I picked him up, and he just collapsed in my arms. He just turned into like a noodle, and just extremely gentle. But the Lord said to the people of Israel through Moses, he said that you are to take a lamb. And at that point in time, very generic statement, take a lamb. And as you take that lamb, as it's inspected and as it's approved, because God did tell even Moses it had to be without spot or without blemish, then you are to make it your lamb. It went from a lamb to your lamb. It came inside the house. And the Lord said, concerning the Passover celebration to the children of Israel, that on the 10th day of the month, you were to bring that little lamb into your home. And according to Hebrew tradition, they would take this little guy into their house and the kids would name him. They would play with him. And they would become attached to him, naming him. He would stay on the bed with them. He would sleep on the bed. And he absolutely became a pet. And you can see how docile he is and precious. And that's the entire point. That innocent lamb, on the 14th day, the father of the household would take that lamb and then he would sacrifice that lamb for the sins of the house. And the blood would be sprinkled and offered up before the Lord. Now on the day of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, where the high priest would go in once a year, he would take a lamb. They actually used two of them at that time. And they would take a lamb and they would slay the lamb and then put his blood into a basin. And then the blood that's on the hands of the priest, they would go over to what's called a scapegoat. You ever heard that term before? They would take the blood, the priest would, and put the blood on top of the head, covering the head of the scapegoat, and they would pronounce the sins of the nation upon that one goat, and then they would drive him into the wilderness, and when that goat was gone away from the people, the trumpeters on top of the hilltops would announce through the trumpeting that the lamb is gone. And it meant to the people that their sins had been removed. One animal had been destroyed, the blood taken from that animal, and then the other animal, the sins placed upon it, driven out into the wilderness. There it was eaten by wolves or by lions and never again to be seen. And the people rejoiced over that. But you need to understand something. We come to the communion table tonight, and it's bread and wine. There's no longer a lamb to be sacrificed effectively and with meaning, because Jesus came. All of the sacrifices of the Old Testament spoke of Christ coming. And when he came, John the Baptist said in John 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And so with Moses, it was a lamb, then it was your lamb, and then it became the lamb that you have within your home. Every bit of him is to be offered up unto the Lord. And so that was done. And so tonight we celebrate the Passover celebration. We so easily, as a very hurried and rushed people, we so easily and quickly approach this table tonight without even thinking about what it cost God in sacrificing his son for us. It's such a serious time that tonight Paul warns us in the book of Corinthians. He says, don't anybody joke about tonight, about communion. He said, many of you who are in the church, you've goofed around taking it and you've become even ill, physically sick. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, some in an unworthy manner taking communion have even died. That was in the New Testament church. God takes this very seriously. And you might want to ask why. And the truth of the matter is, whenever sin is committed and a debt needs to be paid, the innocent is the one that pays the price. Whenever someone is wronged, whenever someone sins against you, who's the one that pays the price? It's not the sinner. The sinner is the one that asks for forgiveness. A sinner comes and says, I ask you to cancel my debt. that you have against me. I've done you wrong, and I'm asking you to really pay the price for it so there's no longer any barrier between you and I. Well, that's where the entire human race was at. The entire human race had sinned against God, and God sent His Son to pay our debt that we could not pay on the cross so that we might go free. So the one that is sinned against is always the one that pays. Now, that's not fair in my book. See, the one who sins against me ought to have their neck slit. You see, my flesh, the one that comes against me, I'd like to see their teeth knocked out of their mouth. You know, the one that comes against me, let's grab a knife and cut off their ear. You know, Peter says, Lord, we're willing to go to Jerusalem and to even die. We're even willing to cut off ears for you. And that's the kind of thing that we do. Not Jesus and not this little lamb. This little guy, as he would run around the home and become so attached to the household, they were to feel a sense of love and companionship with the lamb. That was the meaning of the whole deal of the sacrifice. It was precious. And it's neat today, as we had him over at the house this evening, the first thing the kids said was, can he stay the night? You get attached just looking at him. But can you imagine being in the home and being aware of what God has commanded and wanting to have fellowship with God so much that you would take this little guy and that you would offer him up for your family? Because that's what you would do. In the book of Isaiah chapter 52, beginning at verse 13, down through the 53rd chapter, the scripture says there that Jesus was led forth like a lamb. He didn't open up his mouth. He was silent, as a sheep is silent before its shears. So he opened not his mouth. And he went to the sacrifice. Now, I know there's people visiting here tonight for the first time, and welcome to communion at Calvary Chapel, I guess. But what if I were to tell you that this basin right here is to catch the blood of this little lamb tonight? That what if I were to tell you that from the owners, we'd been given permission to go through the sacrifice, to go ahead and make the point? That if I were to raise this knife to this little guy, this thing is like too sharp. If I were to take this knife and pass it underneath the throat of this little guy, his blood would be spilled. I would take his head and I would pull his head back. The blood would flow in. And as he's just very gentle movements right now, but as the blood would flow into this basin, his life would become less and less active, and his life would go from his veins and into this container. And this blood, according to God, would cover the sins of my home. Would it be worth it? They had such a view of sin that even as the pet became so close to them, this little lamb, they gladly offered up the sacrifice, but they did it weeping. They didn't party over it. They understood the cost. And tonight you may be sitting here. You may be a Christian tonight, or you may not be. But if you're not tonight, you desperately had better find something to cover your sin. You are naked tonight. You can be sitting here in all of your fancy clothes, and according to God, you are stark naked because you have no covering, and you need a lamb. And this little guy could give his life for you tonight. And you could pour this basin of blood over your head, and it would be no good for you. Because Christ has now come. Jesus has come. And the sacrifice was made once and for all for us. The innocent for the guilty. The sinless for the sinner. The way the Lord's established it. So the next time we're tempted to go off and do our disobedience unto the Lord, We need to think about this. We need to think about why we're coming to the table tonight. And we need to thank the Lord that whatever condition you're in tonight, if you're a victorious believer, if you're a struggling believer, if you're a brand new believer, or maybe tonight you're coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've known Him religiously, but tonight you're hearing for the first time that He paid the price for you completely, once and for all. Wherever you find yourself tonight, you come to the table as a believer. Don't come as an unbeliever. You don't even know what's going on. You don't have a clue. But Jesus Christ has forgiven us of our sins based upon His sacrifice and the innocence of our God. The Lord has established this, not only this lamb as a sacrifice image, but we are the sheep of His pastures. He's doing everything to stay awake here. But tonight you need to make sure that your sins are taken care of. Listen, if you died tonight, if tonight was the night that the world sacrifices you in Egypt, would you go to heaven? Why would you go to heaven? Why would God let you in tonight? On what grounds, on what basis would He let you in? If your answer tonight is because I'm a good guy, you'll be cast out of heaven. If tonight you say, I'm religious, God would cast you out of heaven tonight. If you came with any other response before God tonight at the moment of your death or when that time comes, and it's any other answer than, I am trusting God and the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, to save me. If you have some other answer tonight, you are lost. And I'm not saying it myself. I'm quoting Bible, paraphrasing Scripture. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Do you have the blood of the Lamb upon you? There's only one way. And Jesus says, you ask. And you invite me into your life, and I will come on in, and I will remove your sin from you. God does mysterious work. In fact, in the book of Isaiah, it says that God does a strange work in the earth. Isn't that true? If you've known Him for any period of time, you kind of just sit back and say, what are you doing? Sometimes. I tell you what, there's things going on in my life that I sit back and I just go, what is going on? And just when you think, maybe I got this thing I kind of see where God's going and I kind of understand how this thing works out. He throws you a curveball and you can't figure out one way from the other. And He always keeps us on our knees and keeps us asking, keeps us wondering. God does a mysterious work, and Paul is going to talk about the mysterious or the mystery workings of God in Ephesians chapter 3. We touched on it last week. We'll dive into it right now with the time remaining. And Paul says there, chapter 3, book of Ephesians, verse 1, he says, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me for you, how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words. He goes on verse 4. We won't teach on verse 4 tonight, but he goes on to verse 4. By which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. God does a mysterious work. Salvation is absolutely the most amazing thing that God, I think, has done. I don't think it's any big deal for God to create the universe. He only did it in a few days. No big deal. There was nobody, of course, around to mess with Him at that time. He was just there, and He says, you know what? I want the moon right there. I want the sun over here. And I want this, listen, Monday, on my day off, we took an excursion to Catalina Island. Hadn't been there in like a couple of three, 400 years. It's been forever. Got off the boat, put on the mask, snorkel, and fins, got in the water. And you know what our state fish is? California state fish is the California Garibaldi. Brilliant orange fish. They just come right up there, right up to you. They know that they're protected by a $1,500 fine if you touch them. And they kind of flirt with you, and they're coming. And at one point, there were a couple of gals floating around on the raft, and we were underneath snorkeling around. And there was a big congregation of these fish. Beautiful, brilliant fish. And we're chasing them, and they just let you get like 5 inches from grabbing them, and they just know exactly what they're doing. Just teasing you like you can't believe. And it's just such a great thing. Just a neat time. Beautiful. Just, you know, an hour or so from here. Great time. And God is the one who's done all that creative work. No problem for him to create a Garibaldi. It would take us a year just to try to match the color of that guy, because when he moves to the water, he kind of changes in shades of orange. Brilliance. God just does it, speaks it, and it happens. Salvation. Well, he did it in a moment's time on the cross, and it's a done deal. But to work out the effect, the actual effect of you and I living as a Christian and the power of being a Christian, it doesn't take 7 days. It takes an entire lifetime. There is a certain person in our household, I'm not allowed to mention her name, she gets all upset if I mention her from the pulpit, and I haven't done it in a long time. I hear about it for like a couple of days, but she just recently got back from the trip with all you guys. And it was really precious because just no big deal. Something happened, which is very normal, common, and she started crying at home. What are you crying for? I just thought that I changed. You know, that this trip would have changed me. I said, this trip did change. It changed you. It's going to change you. But I've not seen a change. Well, you've been home a few days. It's going to be time. The stuff is still bouncing around your head. It's got to sink down in your heart. It's kind of cooking a little bit, and it's going to happen. It takes time.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from the first three verses of Ephesians 3. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio in this series called The Mysterious Work of God. Now, before we wrap up today's program, we want to take a moment to bring a critical issue to your attention. Now, as you know, November 4th is Election Day for all of us, and in California, we have an issue on the ballot that will affect all churches and believers. Even if you don't live in California, it's important to understand this proposition because, unfortunately, sooner rather than later, all states will have to deal with its issues. Proposition 8 will determine whether homosexual marriage will be an authorized union sanctioned by the state. Remember, if Proposition 8 is defeated, the implications are more serious than most of us realize. So we've set up a special website to provide answers to questions that you may have or to point friends and relatives that live in California. Even if you don't live in California, visit realradioactive.org. And you'll be able to click on the website and see videos of Pastor Jack answering questions sent in by viewers and listeners. Again, if you don't live in California, still visit realradioactive.org and forward that information to your friends and family that do live in this part of the country. Again, realradioactive.org. Get in touch with us by telephone. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR. Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. And remember, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.